questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion, we have a very special guest speaker, Dr. Hujjatul Islam Sheikh Karimi. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
One of the rituals of the Muslims is doing tayammum. We can say, which we have to be more familiar with in your speech, inshallah. But one major question is that tayammum on a dirty dust or a dirty soil, isn't it in contradiction with the nature of Islam, which encourages, we can say, health and hygiene very much?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We know that for some of the rituals, we are in need of kind of purity. And that purity is mainly through ablution, wudu, the minor ablution, yes, and the major ablution that is called ghusl. But in some cases, in different cases which are mentioned in the books of jurisprudence, people may have no access to water, or the water might be harmful. And for other scenarios, they need to do tayammum instead of wudu or ghusl. And for tayammum, you are in need of some soil. And of course, it can be a piece of rock and a stone as well. But we are in need of the soil. Now, the question is whether it is, as you mentioned, in line with the Islamic instructions about hygiene and health. So first of all, we need to refer to the fact that when it comes to Islamic laws, some people think that we know all the philosophies and wisdoms for the Islamic laws. This is not the case. For some of the Islamic laws, the philosophies are mentioned in the narrations of the Ahlul Bidah alayhimus salam, but still it doesn't mean that the full philosophy is mentioned. So yes, ablution help the wudu may help the people for purification of the body for hygiene. But is ablution wudu only for this purpose? Not necessarily. There might be other philosophies that we are not aware of. So this is a general point when it comes to the philosophies of Islamic laws. Of course, we do believe that all of them are based on wisdom, divine wisdom, but it doesn't mean that we may know all the philosophies. To the extent that they are mentioned in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt, we may find the philosophies, but we cannot go beyond that. This is one point as a kind of introduction. Now, having said that, is tayammum against hygiene? The point is that, first of all, who has claimed that to do tayammum, to have a kind of touching with the soil, is going to bring you, dirt and make you
unclean. Yes.
In that case, we should claim that all the workers who are always busy and dealing with the soil in the construction, they should be always in the hospital. This is not the case. Mm-hmm. According to some, they even might be stronger than other people. Okay. So in and of itself, we cannot claim that touching the soil would bring you any kind of disease. And the second point is that, according to the science, even if you have clean and dry soil, it is immune to the germs and microbes. And it is well documented in today's scientific discoveries. And also, they mentioned that there are some particles inside the soil that they are able to remove the germs too. That is why, if you imagine of a carrion of a corpse which is put under the soil after a few days, it would be demolished completely. And one of the reasons is that the soil is able to remove all the germs and microbes in that body.
That's right.
So if you have a dry...
Even soil can be used as a cleaner in Islam,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's right. I will come to that. I mean, yes. When it comes to... I mean,
the tools of cleaning.
Exactly. A dish which is impure because of a dog, for example, one of the ways mm-hmm. is to use soil for purifying that dish. So my point is that the dry and the clean soil, even according to discoveries of today's science, is not only is not a factor for uncleanliness, rather it is able to remove the germs. And the next point is that the verse talking about the concept of tayammum, which is in chapter An-Nisa, verse 43, reads, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَتَيَّمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. In this verse, the word which is used as a kind of epithet, as a kind of attribute and feature for that soil is طَيِّب, meaning that it should be
a clean one,
yes. A pure one. And that is why I'm repeating my point is that a clean, dry soil is free of any kind of germ and even it's able of removing the germs and microbes. And not only that, we have some narrations in this regard. In Wasa'il al-Shia, there is a chapter called Kirahatu Tayammum Bituraban Yuta wa Turabat Tariq. It is makruh, it is disliked for you to do tayammum through a soil which is, I mean, in the alleys, in the streets, and people walk on it, it is disliked. And there is a narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that do not use for tayammum the soil that people may walk on it. So all these narrations are referring to the fact that, and that verse in the chapter An-Nisa, verse 43, that the soil which is used for tayammum should be a clean one.
Yes.
And at least it is disliked for the people to use a dirty soil for tayammum.
And how can we can distinguish is it whether it is clean or dirty? But by dirty and clean, you mean ethically speaking or no? You mean Islamically speaking?
No, I mean physically speaking.
It is touched by an impure thing.
No, I mean physically speaking, we may find soil in the alleys, in the streets. Mm-hmm. But the other point is that we may go to clean jungle, clean desert, and find a soil which is not trodden by any person, by any animal. And
okay.
find it, I mean, some people do that. They bring some clean soil from some places mm-hmm. Where no human and no animal has ever been. And it's absolutely a clean, dry soil. And in that case, they may bring it to their home and use it for, all the cases that they are in need of doing tayammum.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And I think you also refer to this point that nowadays we have a treatment that is called soil treatment.
Yes.
And based on that, some of the illnesses...
Soil therapy.
Exactly.
Yes.
They believe that through the soil, again, dry, clean soil, they are
yes.
able to remove and get rid of some of the diseases and germs and microbes. The next point is that when we are practicing tayammum, for tayammum, we touch the soil and then we rub our two hands on the forehead and on the two hands.
Yes.
On the backside of the hands. First of all, when you're touching the forehead, it doesn't mean that we need to, touch our eyes and the whole face with the soil.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is only on the forehead. Of course, for the details... The dear listeners may refer to the books of Islamic laws. So my point is that there is no touching. The eyes are not going to touch the soil. And second of all, not only that, it's been mentioned that for tayammum, if you touch the soil and there are some particles of the soil in on your hand, you are able to remove those particles as well. And the next point is that it's not tayammum, it's not limited only to soil. I mean, if you do not like it, the other option is, for example, the stone or the rock. So you may have a clean
piece of stone,
and do the tayammum through that stone.
Do we have any verse or I have the Holy Quran referring to tayammum?
Verse 43 of chapter An-Nisa explicitly talks about the concept of tayammum, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيَّبًا. For some scenarios in which you are not able to use water for ablution, major or minor ones, then you need to do tayammum through using sa'idan, soil, which is tayyib, which is pure, which is clean, free of any kind of impurity. And at the last point, let me go back to the first point that I mentioned. Again, I repeat that some of the philosophies of the Islamic laws are mentioned in the narrations, but it doesn't mean that this is the whole philosophy. I would like to add some more points on this in this regard. So, for example, as I mentioned, it is true that making ablution, can help us regarding hygiene and purification of the body. But is it the whole philosophy? As I mentioned, no. There might be many other philosophies. The second point is that, okay, even if imagine that the whole philosophy of ablution is a purity of the body, which is not the case, but let's suppose that this is the case. What about the order? I mean, why do we wash the face first and then the right hand and then the left hand and all the details which are there for minor ablution? The same is true for the major ablution. Yes. Okay, if it is only for purification of the body, there shouldn't be any order. There shouldn't be all these details that are mentioned for wudu, for ablution, minor ablution, for ghusl, the major ablution, and for tayammum. Why there is a kind of order to rub the face and then the right hand and the left hand, and so on and so forth. So my point is that, of course, we do not believe that these are anti-reason. We believe that these are beyond the understanding of the human intellect. So although we may find some of the philosophies of some of the Islamic laws based on the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, they are not the only philosophies, as because I mentioned, not all the details are can be discovered by today's science. Okay, so for example, fasting, according to the science, can be a tool for health. For some people, they can get
as they are doing intermittent fasting nowadays.
They can get rid of some of the diseases through fasting. But what about the all the details which are mentioned in the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt about fasting? So, is health the only philosophy for fasting? Of course not. We just can claim that it can be one of the philosophies for ablution. Purity of the body, cleanliness can be one of the philosophies, but it's not the only philosophy. There might be many other philosophies that we are not aware of.
Thank you much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration. Thank you much, Sheikh Karimi. It was very kind of you. Really, I enjoyed talking to you. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة
حسين وحسن